Well, good morning. Man, what an awesome service. Great music, time to share communion together. Really good. If you're new here, or maybe you're joining us online, I am not Peter O'Neill. I'm not usually the guy up here talking, but Peter's off in Washington enjoying some balmy vacation. In the middle of a snowstorm out in Washington State. So he's out actually spending some time with his dad. They haven't been out there for a while. Their whole family went, and I saw pictures of snow and other stuff. So you might pray for them. I don't know if Peter remembers how to drive and that stuff. But we're going to spend time this morning talking out of Colossians chapter 1. So if you're joining us online, if you're here, if you would turn to Colossians chapter 1, I'm not going to read every verse in Colossians chapter 1, but we are going to look at some different verses from that passage. And the church in Colossae, which is where this was written to, is a church that Paul probably never visited. He was never there. It wasn't a huge church. It wasn't a big town. I mean, it was on a trade route, so it had some importance. But it wasn't like Ephesus, which was a humongous place, or Corinth, which had maybe 250,000 people, right? Really big town, or even significant like Rome. And so when you think about it, this is probably written to a smaller church in a smaller community. So maybe like it's written to somebody like us, like Lilburn. It's written by Paul and Timothy. And the church, as I said, wasn't founded by Paul. A man named Epaphras seems to be the one who was at least doing the primary teaching there. So Paul writes this letter to them, and we're going to start in verse 9. Before we do that, just a little background, because like I said, I'm going to jump a little bit. So Paul opens this letter, as he does many of them, giving thanks for the church. He prays for them, and he says, I'm giving thanks for you, and here's why. Right? And he's got some things. He talks about their hope. He talks about their faith. He talks about their love. So he's aware of these people and what they're doing. He's actually, Epaphras has come to Paul. And so he's communicated how the church is going. And so Paul writes this letter to him. And there's another church in a similar area called Laodicea that also got a letter that we don't have in our Bible. But anyway, Paul wrote several letters to these churches. This is the one we have. And so I'm going to pick up in verse 9. And Paul writes, he says, for this reason also, since the day we heard of this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We're asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So I'm not sure when the last time is that you prayed that for someone. But that's a really significant thing that he's praying for. He's asking them to know God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Well, how would you like to have that? Yeah, okay, that sounds really good, right? We like that part. And so then he continues, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, which is a word, phrase we're going to come back and talk about, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. Okay, how would you like that to be true? Whatever you do, every good work bears fruit, you're growing in your knowledge of God. Need stuff that Paul's praying for them, and so he continues. He says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have... Now stop. Don't read any further, okay? You think about what he said so far. Okay, I want you to have all of God's a knowledge of His will. I want you to have all wisdom. I want you to have all spiritual understanding. I want you to walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing to Him, bearing fruit, growing, strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. I mean, this is leading up to something humongous here, right? I mean, it's like, okay, you need all the energy you can ever have and ever need, and I'm praying all this for you so that you can, and you think about what would be next, right? Maybe so that you may have the ability to heal all diseases. Wouldn't that be great? I'd vote for that, right? So that you could end hunger in our world. That sounds really good. So that Christianity becomes more popular. That sounds great. So that we have world peace. Okay, I'd like that to be happening too, right? So that you, let's say you personally, have the wisdom of Solomon, right? Maybe you'll know how to raise your kids or your grandkids or whoever, right? Or deal with people at work. Or, I mean, we need all those things, right? And so Paul is praying that they might have endurance and patience. Really? I mean, that's like a little bit of a... I'm not saying these words. It's a little bit of a letdown, right? It's like, oh, come on. I need all this so that I can have endurance and patience joyfully. Right? And the answer is, yeah, we need that. And then he continues, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled us to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. Okay? He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. In Him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That's really big. Right? God says, I have transferred you from walking in darkness, from being enslaved to your sin, into a life of freedom where you can live an abundant life knowing me, right? Walking with me. And in the middle of all this, he talks about patience and endurance. So, as I thought about that, I thought, well, there's a couple of ways that patience shows up, right? So, I kind of robbed kids' toys out of my house, which is normal. Here's one way. When my behavior and attitude, patience should be my behavior and attitude when I don't feel my rights are being respected and honored or I'm being inconvenienced. Okay, so, there's a bigger picture on the screen if you need it. So, it's a car, right? Wooden puzzle piece. I am challenged to put this back in the right slot sometimes. Okay? Have you ever driven on 285? Have you ever felt like your rights were not respected? And have you ever been grateful you did not have a gun in your car to... right? Or maybe you were tolerant enough, you just didn't use the one you had. Okay, we understand this, right? Things don't go the way I want them to go. And somehow, I thought, you know, as I get older, I'm going to get more patient. Yeah, you know. Okay. I think, you know, I was kind of impatient when I was young. When I get older, I'll just be more patient. Guess what? Not true. Okay. Second one is, and I warned the pilots I was going to talk about them, an airplane. So I've been on lots of flights. I'm grateful for the pilots. I've never crash-landed anything. But I have sometimes, by the grace of whatever, tailwinds or whatever, you land early. It's a smooth landing. You've had a smooth flight. You come in, you land, you taxi around the Atlanta airport, you pull up, bingo, you pull up. Actually, it's worse than that. You pull up to within about 10 feet of the gate. And the pilot comes on and says, hey, what do they start with? Thank you for your patience. Guess what? I'm not being patient. I'm just buckled in my seat because I know it'll go even slower if I get out and start roaming the aisles. Okay, we understand what it's like to have expectations that don't get met, and we have to have patience to get through there. Okay. But there's a different side to patience as well. Okay, are there any fishermen in the room? I know that, okay, yeah, all right, Brad's here. Yeah, there's a few, right? So more of you should be fishermen. So you'll all recognize this possibly as a reel, okay? And this is what the reel looks like sometimes when things haven't gone exactly right, okay? And you've tried to cast and it gets whatever, and all of a sudden you have that. And you're like, ugh. So what do you do when you have that? Well, one, what you're inclined to do is, ah, and you want to just grab it and pull it, and does that make it better or worse? It makes it worse. So what you have to do if you don't have enough money to go, okay, I'm just cutting all the line off the reel and starting over again, which happens sometimes. It's very expedient time-wise if you have the resources. But you can also, if you are patient, you can start undoing that in such a way that you can untangle that line and you can be able to use the reel again for the purpose you're intending, right? To try to catch some fish. Okay, patience is staying with a tedious task when it's not going well and you don't see progress. So when you're in the middle of that, you're like, I don't know if I'll ever get through this. And finally, something happens and you're like, aha, this is going to work. I can get this undone. In our lives, we have things that are like that. We have messy things in our lives, and we wrestle with them. And they've been there a long time sometimes. And we're just like, God, this is not getting any better. What's the deal here? And God would say, Paul would say, you need patience and endurance in the midst of this thing. Let me give you a couple of quotes here. This is Winston Churchill, famous from World War II. Really, he's really famous for his leadership, but also his endurance and things. And he was a great speech maker. So he says, this one I had to read more than once. Success is not final. No, that's not what they should say. Defeat is not final. No, it says success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It's the courage to continue that counts. So you might have things go really well. Things may be going terribly. It's the continuance and the walking in there that counts. This is the lesson. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. That's the way I feel sometimes. I'm wrestling with stuff in my life, and I think, this is just a lost cause. There's just no point in wrestling anymore. I just keep getting, I'm not getting defeats, right? I may have like small skirmishes that I win, right? But I'm not winning the war. I'm wrestling, and this is not going well. The enemy is overwhelming. Okay. But Paul has other information that's coming. Here you go. This is verse 15. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by Him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. Did you catch that? When He says He's the image of the invisible, I want to go, how's that possible? Okay, how do you... But He's the nature... He has the same nature as God. He has the characteristics of God in a human form. And He is the firstborn over all creation. We think of firstborn. When I think of firstborn, I think, well, I know who my firstborn is, right? It's Elizabeth, right? I was there for all four deliveries. She was the first one that came out, right? Fortunately, the others were a couple of years spacing between them, right? We didn't have four at one time, but she was the firstborn out, right? That's not what this means in the New Testament, right? It does mean that because there were some things associated with it, but the firstborn was the one who had the same authority, the same power, the same inheritance as the dad, right? Who kind of ran the family. So when He says He's the firstborn over all creation, He's got rule over this stuff. What was created by Him? Everything. Visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. So not only has He created it all, He's holding it together. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. And through Him, to reconcile everything to Himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. We just talked about that. Right? He shed His blood so that we, who were enemies of God, strangers, not part of God's family, could become part of God's family. He did all that. He is all that. He is in the business of reconciliation. Right? I don't know, but you might have people that you're not in good standing with. Right? And God's in the business, that's where we were with God. And God's in the business of reconciling, of rebuilding relationships or building relationships. That's what Jesus was about. That's what He was doing. So in verse 22, now He has reconciled you by His physical body through His death to present you. Here's how you're going to get presented if you're part of God's family. Holy, faultless, blameless before Him. Blameless. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's going to look at your life and go, you were blameless? You are holy. I have a hard time accepting that sometimes because I know what I've done. Okay, God does too. And yet He offers forgiveness to us. The forgiveness of sins. So, here's the point. Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's verse 27. He talks about a mystery that's been revealed and it's made known among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's a couple of possibilities here, and I think they're maybe both true. One of them is He's talking about you as a person. Okay? So, J. Himmel, Christ is in you. This Christ we've just talked about, with all this power, with all this authority, He's in you. Okay, that's one way to look at it. The other one is, Christ is in you, the church I'm writing to. And I believe they're both true. So Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we're going to jump back to verse 10. Remember what he said, because this is how this works, I believe. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him. You can live your life in a way that is fully pleasing to God. Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. What does that mean? God wants us to walk worthy in a way that pleases Him. He wants us to bear fruit in every good work, doing things from a heart of faith and a connection to Him. So you remember a few weeks ago, I had part of my blueberry bush up here. It's blueberry bush that's not quite as tall now, okay? Because I cut off part of the branch, right? And we recognized the chances of it blooming in the spring were going to be zero, okay? It wasn't going to bear fruit because it was disconnected from the vine. And in fact, a week later, Rob was up and there were no leaves on the thing, right? It was basically turning into a nice piece of kindling, okay? So when he's saying, you want to bear fruit in every good work, he's talking about you being connected to God in a real and intimate way. And so that means we know God better. So I want to park here for just a second because then we're going to move. Okay? Your time with God is essential. Okay, we can talk about things we do as a church, and it's all true. But what's going on in your time with God? And I say that because there are times that life, I allow life to crowd out my time with God. Right? I got a call at 6 this morning. Okay. So let's kind of rearrange things. Oh, I got, a call late at night, so I need to sleep a little longer. Many of you know, right? I have a new granddaughter, right? Lucy, and who's one of the most precious people in the whole world. Just ask me and I'll tell you. Does she impact my daughter's schedule? Yeah, you betcha, right? This child eats like every 2.5 hours. Okay, well, that would impact your schedule, okay? So life pushes on our schedule. It pushes us to change. And it tries to crowd out God and our relationship with God, our personal relationship with God in the process. We have to protect that. That's essential to us bearing fruit. Okay, so we will be strengthened with all power. Remember, that's what Paul's praying for them. And you think about the power and the fact he's saying, Christ in you, this is the power you have. And we need each other to help us in this journey towards working on things in our lives that need to be different. We need to have endurance and patience to keep working on it. So let me give you some quick ideas here. Pray for people and then tell them about it. You think, well, wait a minute. Jesus said go into your closet and pray, and he did, right? What was Paul doing here? He's telling these people he's praying for them. Okay, this is not a sin. I don't think Paul was off in the weeds here doing this, right? So this week I had many of you know I'm out of work. So a guy that I haven't seen in probably 20 years, sends me a message across a message board, said, "Hey, I'm praying for you that God will direct you in your path towards finding the right work." What do you think that did for me? Right? I mean, it's amazing. Okay? Communicate with people that you care. So another friend of mine, haven't talked to him in months. He lives in another town. "Hey, what's going on?" "I don't think he even knew I was out of work." Right? Why? What would make someone do that? Well, perhaps God would make someone do that, would prompt someone to do those things. Okay, so you people on the left, wherever the left is, you've got those books, right? That we passed around? Everybody wrote their name in there? Okay, what's in there? Well, your name's in there. Okay, anybody see these little yellow cards in there? Okay, I got this one months ago. It's not in the trash bin, right? It's a card that somebody sent me saying, "Hey, I appreciate what you're doing." That was life to me. Life. It's really simple. Okay. Anybody ever surprised you with a gift that you liked? Okay, not necessarily, "Mom, I brought home a puppy." Okay. We're not talking about that. Okay. Work with people. Team up with people. Listen to people. It doesn't take great wisdom to keep your mouth shut and let people talk. And it will do them a ton of good. Share meals together. Study God's Word together. I can't tell you how different I view some of Scripture now than I did 2 years ago. Because I'm studying with men together. Go work in the nursery. Good News Club. Okay? I've had two or three people today that just walked by me as I'm sitting around, and I just got the hand on the shoulder. That is life. Okay? That's the ways that we can build relationships, life, encouragement, which we all need. And then don't just choose success or chase success. Invest your life significantly. One of the great figures 100 years ago was a man named Thomas Edison. You might have heard of him. Okay? If not, we'll turn out the lights and you can all imagine what it would be like if we had candles in here. Okay? He worked to productized the light bulb. He developed the phonograph. He developed lots of different things, right? All through his life. I mean, he was in his 70s and 80s. The man had more than 1,000 patents to his name. Just phenomenal, the kind of energy he had and the work he did towards building products and getting him out there. And his family was a wreck. He had a bunch of kids. He had two wives. First one died. He had a wife, had kids. She died. He had another wife, more kids. And it was just, he spent no time with them. The man would work sometimes 20 hours a day. How many of you would like to sign up for that job? Not me. Okay. But he spent like no time at home. He spent very little time with his kids, and his kids suffered as a result of that. Many in the world would say Edison was a success. I would say, in a sense, yes. But was he successful in things that are really significant in people? I would say no. So as you're living your life, as you're wrestling with these things inside you, as you're working as a body of Christ, Him is the head. Again, this communication thing's going on here. Make sure you're chasing things that are significant. Read a book, it finished up with these three points that I thought were good. He said, worship God, love people, and use things. I would say worship and love God. Love people and use things. Join me as we pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. And how it challenges me. It challenges us to not quit, to work with patience, to work with endurance, to be patient as you, the creator of our universe, the one who not only created it all, but became involved with people, with you inside us, that our lives would reflect you, that we would walk worthy, giving weight to your presence in our life. Sometimes it seems like our enemy is overwhelming. And yet, as we look at your word, it tells us that not only did you create it all, not only were you involved with us, you have conquered death itself. And you are the ultimate victor. Help us to walk in community with each other. And more we would reflect you to the world around us. Amen.